Today we will learn about continuity and related ideas. So let E be a subset of R, let F be a real valued function with domain E. Fix a point P which is an E and is also an accumulation point of E. We say that F is continuous at P if the limit as x goes to P, f of x equals f of P. So put in garden style English, this says that what we expect F to do at P is at what F actually does at P. The limit on the left-hand side is what we expect f to do. The expression on the right-hand side, f of p, is what f actually does at p. We learned from the penultimate example of the last lecture that polynomial functions are continuous at every real x. We learned that sine x and cosine x are continuous, and a rational function is continuous at every point of its domain. Example, the function h at x equals sine 1 over x if x is not 0, and 1 if x equals 0 is discontinuous at 0. See the next figure for an illustration. The concrete reason is that the limit as x goes to 0 of h at x does not exist. And a few details are provided there for you to think about, but you can see in the picture clearly that the function wiggles around too much and the limit doesn't exist. So therefore, the equality defining continuous is not valid. So, by contrast, the function k of x equals x times sine 1 over x if x is not 0 and 1 if x equals 0 is also discontinuous at x equals 0. This time, the limit as x goes to 0 if k of x exists, we calculated it last time and it's 0, but the limit does not agree with k at 0, which is 1. Now, on the other hand, the function m at x equals x times sine 1 over x if x is not 0 and 0 if x equals 0 is continuous at 0 because the limit as x goes to 0 of x sine 1 over x, as we know, is 0, and the value of the function at 0 is also 0, so they agree. And the next figure illustrates this. The arithmetic operations plus, minus, times, and divides preserve continuity so long as we avoid division by 0, and we can now formulate this statement as a theorem. And the reason, of course, is because these four operations respect limits. So theorem, let f and g be functions with domain E and let p be a point of E, which is also an accumulation point. If f and g are continuous at p, then so are f plus minus g, f times g, and f divided by g, provided that g of p is not zero. And the proof is apply the relevant theorem about limits from the last lecture. Continuous functions may also be characterized using sequences, just as we did with limits. Let f be a function with domain E and fix P and E, which is an accumulation point of E. The function f is continuous at P if and only if for every sequence aj at E satisfying limit aj equals P, it holds that the limit of f at aj equals f at P. Proof, apply the appropriate proposition from the last lecture, namely the one about limits, characterizing limits, with sequences. Now recall that if g is a function with domain D in range E, and if f is a function with domain E in range F, then the composition of f and g is f composed with g equals f of g of x. The figure sort of illustrates conceptually what we're talking about here. Proposition, let g have domain D in range E, and let f have domain E in range F, let p be in D. Suppose that p is an accumulation point of D, and g of p is an accumulation point of E. Assume that g is continuous at p and that f is continuous at g at p, then f composed with g is continuous at p. Proof is easy. Let aj be any sequence in d so that the limit as j goes to infinity of aj is p. Then the limit as j goes to infinity of f composed with g at aj is the limit of f of g of aj, which is the f of the limit as j goes to infinity of g of aj. That's my definition of continuity. And that's f of g of the limit, again by the definition of continuity, and that's f of g at p, which is f composed with g of p. And now apply the previous proposition, which says we could characterize continuity by sequences. Example, it is not the case that if the limit as x goes to p of g of x equals l, and the limit as t goes to l of f of t equals m, then the limit of f composed with g as x goes to p is equal to m. A counterexample is given by the functions g of x is identically 0 and f of x equals 2 if x is not 0 and 5 if x equals 0. You can check for yourself that the limit of x as x goes to 0 of g of x is 0. The limit as t goes to 0 of f of t is 2, yet the limit of x goes to 0 of f composed with g of x is 5. The additional hypothesis that f be continuous in L is necessary in order to guarantee that the limit of the composition will behave in the right way. Now we explore the topological approach to the concept of continuity. This is actually quite interesting. Whereas the analytical approach that we have been discussing so far considers continuity one point at a time, the topological approach considers all points simultaneously. Let us call a function continuous if it is continuous at every point of its domain. Definition: let f be a function with domain AE and let w be any set of real numbers. We define f inverse of w to be the set of all x in E so that f at x lies in w. We sometimes refer to f inverse of w as the inverse image of w under f. Theorem: let f be a function with domain E. The function f is continuous if and only if the inverse image of any open set under f is the intersection of E with an open set. In particular, if E is open, then f is continuous if and only the inverse image of every open set under f is open. Proof. This proof is a little long, but it's got a lot of good ideas in it. Assume that f is continuous. Let O be any open set in R, and let P be a point of f inverse O. Then, by definition, f of P is in O. That's what it means for P to be in f inverse of O. Since O is open, there is an epsilon bigger than zero, so that the interval f at P minus epsilon, f P plus epsilon, lies in O. By the continuity of f, we may select a delta bigger than zero, so that if x is in E and x minus P is less than delta, then f at x minus f of P is less than epsilon. In other words, if x is in E and x minus P is in absolute value is less than delta, then f at x is in O, or x is in f inverse O. Thus, we have found an open interval L, which is P minus delta P plus delta about P, whose intersection with E is contained in F intersect O. So F intersect O is the intersection of E with an open set. Conversely, suppose that for any open set O and R, we have that F inverse O is the intersection of E with an open set. Fix P and E, choose epsilon bigger than zero, then the interval FP minus epsilon FP plus epsilon is an open. By hypothesis, the set F inverse of the interval FP minus epsilon FP plus epsilon is the intersection of E with an open set. This set contains the point P, thus there is a delta bigger than zero, so that E intersect P minus delta P plus delta lies in F inverse of FP minus epsilon FP plus epsilon, but that just says that F of E intersect P minus delta P plus delta is a subset of FP minus epsilon FP plus epsilon. In other words, if x minus p is less than delta and x is an e, then fx minus fp is less than epsilon. But that's the definition of continuity. The example: since any open subset of the reals is a countable or finite disjoint union of intervals, open intervals, then in order to check the inverse image under a function f of every open set, to check that the inverse image under f of every open set is open, it is enough to check that the inverse image of any open interval is open. This is frequently easy to do. For example, look at f at x equals x squared. The inverse image of an open interval AB is minus root B minus root A union root A root B if A is bigger than 0. It's minus root B if A is less than or equal to 0 and B is bigger than or equal to 0. And it's empty if A is less than B is less than 0. Thus, the function f is continuous. Notice that by contrast, it is somewhat tedious to give an epsilon delta proof of the continuity of f at x equals x squared. It's rather, given an epsilon, it's quite tricky to pick the delta. Corollary: let f be a function with domain E. The function f is continuous if and only the inverse image of any closed set f under the function little f is the intersection of E with some closed set. In particular, if E is closed, then f is continuous if and only the inverse image of any closed set under f is closed. Proof is enough to prove that f inverse of the complement of capital F is equal to the complement of f inverse of capital F, and we leave that as a simple set theoretic exercise for you. And that's the end of today, Friday's lecture. Thank you.